Okay, thank you. Hello, everyone. Glenn, could you do a roll call, please?
Yes, I will. Philip Shepard.
Yes.
Mike Rodenbach.
Here.
Bilal Beram. We are supposed to call out to him, so I will see what's happened. Christina Rosette.
Present.
Uta Decker. Cyril Chua. Tony Holmes.
Yes, Glenn.
Tony Harris. Greg Ruth.
Here.
Robin Gross.
Here.
Norbert Klein. Carlos Souza.
Hi, here.
Mr. Timber is joining.
Adrian sends his apologies. Tim Ruiz.
Here.
Tom Keller. Jordy.
Hello.
Is Jordy on the line?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Good. Hi, Jordy. Chuck Gomes.
Here.
Edmund Chan. John.
Here.
John Bing.
Yes.
Avery Doria.
Yes.
Olga Cavelli.
Yes.
Alan Greenberg.
Yes.
And for staff, we have Denise Michel, Olaf Nordling, Liz Gaster, Patrick Jones, Craig Schwartz, Karen Lentz, and have I missed anybody?
Hi, Glenn. It's Rita Radan. I'm on the call.
Hi, Rita. Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hi, Glenn. This is Bilal Vera. I'm on the call.
Hi, Bilal. Good.
Okay. So thank you. We have everyone. We have Kwan. Well, okay, the next thing is to ask if anyone needs to update or let us know of an update on any of the statements of interest. Is there anyone at this time? Okay. The next thing is about the agenda. There's a couple changes. One, item 7 is moved to just before item 11 due to Patrick possibly coming in late for the meeting. So that item is moved. Under the board discussion, if there's any discussion of reaction to the GNSL message to the board, that can fall under there. And then under any other business, going to have a brief discussion about the Friday-Saturday schedule to try and basically there's two choices of how to align those days. A little bit about just bring up again the liaison with the CPNSO. And then just a brief mention of the face-to-face meeting with the CCNSO and see where that's at. So any comments or other changes we need to make in the agenda as it was sent out?
This is
okay.
Rob. In the, yes. Sorry. In the any other business, could we briefly discuss our New Delhi accommodation?
New Delhi accommodation, sure. Okay, any other additions or changes?
Yeah, maybe we could talk about council tools a bit, or how
council.
We want to proceed with that.
Council tools, you mean like the Google Docs we've been using?
Yeah,
in touch,
something
you mean,
like that.
Oh, and, okay, certainly. I'll put it in. We're starting to have a lot of things, so we'll see if we get to them, but certainly. Anything else? Okay. Thank you. The next item is to approve the GNSO minutes of 20.
I make a motion, Aubrey, that we approve those minutes. This is Chuck.
Okay, these are the minutes of 20 December 2007. Would anyone like to comment before calling for a vote? Okay, hearing no comment, could all those who approve of those minutes please say aye?
Sorry, I'm checking for Aubrey.
Anybody who does not approve of those minutes, please say nay. Anyone abstaining? Okay, thank you. Passed. The next item on the agenda is to confirm the voting from the GNSO Council Chair. I'll turn the chair over to Chuck for this item.
Thank you, Aubrey. Glenn, could you please share the results of the vote? I don't think you need to go through person by person, but if you could just share the total voting results.
Certainly I will. Thank you, Chuck. The winning candidate should receive at least 14 votes, and the result of the vote for the GNSO Council Chair was 20, according to the weighted voting, was 25 votes for Avery and 2 votes that abstained, which made a total of 27 votes. And without assigning ballot weights, there were 19 votes for and 2 votes that abstained, which means that everybody in the council, the 21 council members, did vote.
Thank you, Glenn. Does anybody have any questions on the results? Would someone like to make a motion that confirm the voting, the election of Avery as chair for another 1-year term?
This is Christina. I'll move to confirm the election results.
Thank you. Is there a second? Let's see, several people said. Give me a name, please.
Robin.
Okay, I heard Robin first. Thank you. Thanks for everybody willing to do that. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion? Is there anybody that opposes a voice vote on this? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Anybody want to abstain?
I'll abstain. This is Avery.
Thank you, Avery. All right. So that motion passed, and I will and congratulations, Avery. Appreciate all of your hard work, and I turn it back over to you for the meeting.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chuck, for running that, and thank you, everyone, for your vote. I will do my best over the next year. Okay. Moving on to item 5, an update from Denise Michelle on board activities. I know there hasn't been another meeting since we last spoke, but there may be some other items. There's certainly the message that we sent to the board, et cetera. So, Denise? Hello, Denise?
I'm sorry. I was on mute. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, now we can.
So the board will be meeting next on January 23rd. And is Rita on the call?
I am, Denise. I'm here.
Great. Feel free to jump in on any of this. The January 23rd is the next board meeting. A number of items on the agenda relate specifically to the GNSO. As you all know, for some time, the GNSO's contractual condition for distant utilities has been pending. That's PDP 706. That's on the agenda for board approval on the 23rd. In addition, the board will review the a number of staff cases it's received thus far from the services staff on proposed implementation of the new DTLD policy report, 705. You'll recall that the board has asked for more detailed implementation information from staff before acting on the policy report. That process is underway.
And if I could just jump in here, I understand from the executive committee meeting last night, you all may recall from the last meeting we'd asked for a staff briefing on some of the implementation issues based on the report, and I understand from Paul Toomey yesterday that the staff is still working on that. So we're going to have an update on that process, but my understanding is that there's not an official management position according to Paul, so the board actually won't have a completed document by this next board meeting. So we'll get a status as to where we are, but we won't be able to start discussing substantively the issues until likely the next meeting.
And as you recall, the staff has broken the issues up into individual issue papers, and I think 5 have been delivered to the board thus far. There's a few more to go. And they expect to have a substantive discussion on this at the New Delhi meeting. In addition, of course, the GNSO's letter to the board on recommending a new joint working group on IDN issues.
Hello, Joni Harrison.
Is also on the agenda. And as is a discussion on domain name tasting. I also would note that the CCNSO Council had a meeting 2 days ago. I posted a note on the GNSO Council list. They discussed the GNSO's letter to the board and are developing their own letter to the board regarding the proposal for the joint working group. They do not support the joint working group, but would like to discuss this and related substantive issues further in a face-to-face meeting in New Delhi. We're expecting that letter shortly. Another item I wanted to note for the council is that the Board Governance Committee, the GNSO Review Working Group, is in the process of finalizing their GNSO Improvements Report. The staff is preparing implementation notes and the timeline the working group is under at this point has the report being submitted to the full Board Governance Committee and then board receipt of that by that kind of report by New Delhi. I'll provide some more information on that in writing over the next few days. And then another item I'd like to note again is two things that will be coming up for discussion in New Delhi. Again, I mentioned last time the development of a new operating plan and budget for the next fiscal year has started, and staff will prepare a straw man that will help launch discussions about the next budget and operating plan in New Delhi. And finally, Doug Brandt, the COO, will hold a workshop on travel policy. So there will be a public discussion about and some ideas to get public input on regarding ICANN's support for community travel. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, I have one question before I open a queue, and it's informational. On GNSO improvements, will we have a decision in New Delhi, or is that not known yet?
Sorry, I'm sorry. Okay. Again, the plan is for it to be submitted to the board, and the executive committee determines the board's agenda. I suspect, given the complexity and length of the report, that the board members will want additional time to review and consider it before voting, but the plan is to have it submitted to the board by New Delhi.
Okay, thank you. I'll take a cue at the moment. Who would like to speak or ask questions?
Chuck.
Chuck, anyone else?
Christina, please.
Christina, anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, Denise, with regard to GNSO improvements, in the information you're going to send out here in a few days, are we going to get some idea of when the working group will be finished and submit its report to the governance committee, and then possibly how long that'll take to before it goes to the board? Also, and I guess underlying my question is another question, and that is will we have some direction, even if it's not totally approved yet, in New Delhi, so that we can begin to work more specifically on the issues of GNSO improvement in New Delhi.
And Rita, please feel free to jump in here. Rita's also a member of the working group. We have a proposed timeline with those specific action items in it, and so that's something that we should be able to share with the GNSO very shortly. It'll have a proposed timeline for a working group completion of the report, board governance committee consideration of the report, and then its public posting and submission to the board. So yes to your first question. As to your second question, as I noted, staff is developing a proposed implementation notes on this, and I think a number of the GNSO could certainly start discussing a number of items in the report in New Delhi, and that would be a wise thing to do.
So let me make sure I understood you correctly. So staff is developing implementation plans for GNSO improvements?
Well, we're calling them implementation notes, and similar to what we've done in the past, on policy proposals, we're developing more information that will give us a clearer sense of the staff and funding resources that might be required for particular elements of the report, that lay out proposed timelines to give the working group a better sense of how long it will take to work with the GNSO constituencies and the public to develop some of the specific proposals the report calls for and implement them. So it's that type of work that's going on.
So is the working group then waiting for some of those notes before they finish their work?
I think some information I think they would like to have before they to make their final decision. And I think there's a couple of other substantive issues that they'll be wrapping up soon as well.
Thanks.
Yeah, Chuck, if I could just jump in. I think that this has been going on for a pretty long time. There's one sort of larger substantive issue that some of us are grappling with, but I do think that what we're asking staff to do is come up with a pretty definitive timeline of how we would roll out some of the suggestions for modification in the report, how we would work with the GNSO, so we can get you all started and, you know, organizing yourselves as soon as possible to start giving us some substantive feedback. But we are going to try, I think we're having a call on the 24th of January with Bruce and some other folks, and I think we're going to try to get as complete a report as possible by the end of this month. So the plan would be to then present that to the full board governance committee, which has to then talk about the report before the board acts on it. So we're trying to do that as quickly as possible. And those of us on both the smaller working group and the board governance committee are going to take a pretty pivotal role in briefing the BGC and ultimately the board. But our goal is to have as complete a package as we can with as articulate and specific a timeline for you all in Delhi.
So we won't have enough information to really do any work in New Delhi when we're all there, or most of us are there in person on this because of it just doesn't sound like that could happen.
I mean, I'm hopeful, Chuck. We're waiting for this paper from staff, and we're going to try to get the
BGC,
you know, to talk about it as soon as possible. But as we have that, you know, that kind of three-step procedural process, unfortunately, but we're trying to do as best we can to get you guys as much info by Delhi, because, you know, we understand that you guys are all traveling, and it's much easier to do that face-to-face. So,
thank you.
Okay, thanks, Christina.
I was just curious as to whether it was expected that the staff, the implementation notes for new GTLDs would either be made available to the council or publicly available, and if so, at what point?
Yes, there's been discussion, I think, among services staff about posting additional information on the subjects they're briefing the board on. And Craig, do you have anything to add on that?
I don't, but what I need to do is circle back with Kirk. He and Karen have been working on these status update reports, and I don't know off the top of my head what discussion has been had about making them public or what the plan is to make them available to the GNSO, but I'll find that out and report to the group this week.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else want to be in the queue to ask a question or comment on anything? No? Okay, in which case, thank you, Denise. Moving on to the next item, item 6, IDNC update. Edmund is going to give that, has been posting various things from that mailing list to the council mailing list. Edmund?
I don't really have a lot of update. I think the whole discussion has been relatively quiet, or if it had happened, it wasn't happening on the mailing list. Mainly what happened was a topic list, which was of course sent over to the council as well, was sent to the mailing list. It was drafted by Bart and Chris. That was mid December, and I think like 4 or 5 people did respond to it, but there didn't quite have a real conversation about it. We did also get the response from the EU, which I think it was separately sent to the council list as well. And so what happened was, based on some of the comments that were pretty much one-off into the mailing list and not much discussion, a list of comments were compiled and consolidated by also Chris and Bart, and that sent out with another document, which is called the initial report, the draft of the initial report. But essentially, it's almost the same as almost identical to the topic list. I have just asked Chris like how we envision the discussion to actually happen. I haven't really heard back yet, because it seems like there has there hasn't been much back and forth on the mailing list. But we are going to be meeting, I think, for the first time in Delhi. Right now, the target is to meet early Monday, the 11th, right after the opening. And that is, I think, just a meeting together. And then there should be a workshop later that day, actually, although I don't know where to find the schedule that has that. But from bits and pieces from the work group emails, I understand that there should be a workshop for this Monday afternoon. In terms of the topic list, I think it sort of makes sense. It generally separates it into two parts. One is the selection of the string, IDN TLD string. The other part is the delegation to an entity, the registry operator. I think further separating them into the requirements and then the process, it makes sense. It hasn't quite been completely adopted yet. I was suggested by Hotka, Hiro Hotka, and I did support that. And I think it would make a lot of sense to separate into those two, and then further subdivide into the process for which the requirements and criteria for which, and the process for the string of the TLD and the delegation to the registry operator. There are two particular things I think of interest inside those lists. One is, we did discuss this last time when we had this topic, was an objection mechanism. There is discussion, there is a topic on it to discuss how or whether there should be an objection process and what the criteria might be. And then another one, which is rather interesting, I think we would be interested in keeping closer eye on, is there is acceptance that there might be some technical requirements or policy enforcement requirements that should be in place to ensure certain TLD operators, like IDN TLD operators, comply with certain standards and guidelines, and there is a discussion about how it could be ensured. I did raise the issue of whether ensuring means that there needs to at least be a some sort of a understanding between the registry operator and the and I can, but that has, you know, that has been punted at this point. That's pretty much the update.
Okay, thanks. I'd like to take a cue on people that would like to ask a question or comment.
This is Tim. I'd like to be in the queue.
Tim, anyone else? There's another voice.
Chuck Rosenbaum.
Chuck and Mike, I heard. Chuck, Mike, anyone else? Okay, I have Tim, Chuck, Mike. Tim, go ahead, please.
Edmund, so there's really been no substantive discussion about what kind of agreement would exist between these selected registry operators and ICANN, or what that agreement would consist of? Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes. Well, actually, at this point, we are supposedly, based on the schedule, we're talking about the topic list and the initial report, which doesn't really go into the discussion of the items, but the listing of the items. It's almost like stock taking at this point. So the list of items. So we haven't really gone into the discussion of how that could be done. However, the question does exist of how to ensure compliance by the operators.
Does that include compliance with the existing consensus policies? Is that what we're referring to?
I don't think that would be even close.
Yeah, I mean, if it was, it would be with consensus policies of the CCNSO. To the degree that CCNSO PDPs enforce something, it would be those. It certainly wouldn't have anything to do with our consensus policies.
Well, that's where I don't agree. Because then we're basically just viewing these as CCTLDs. So we're just extending the universe of CCTLDs.
That is correct.
Well, I guess that is definitely the intent at this point, but again, we haven't really gone into the discussion. But with that particular item, I'm fairly sure that, you know, it would be a big resistance towards, you know, I guess, Tim, what you would like to see.
So this is completely under a CCNSO PDP, and so the only opportunity
CNSO has is to
comment?
No, not at this point. This fast track working group is to create a mechanism by which they would be able to create a few new non-contentious IDN CCTLDs before they had a chance to do their own PDP for a larger scale deployment. So this working group, which does include our two members and three observers from the GNSO, is merely to come up with the mechanism by which, if that mechanism were approved, by which they would be able to assign a few, as they say, non-contentious IDN CCTLDs. It's not their PDP. Their PDP is still, in fact, until January 25th, I believe, is still open for comments, at which time their issues report will be written. The PDP process within the CCNSO includes a public review before the writing of the issues report. So indeed, if, you know, any of us have comments or issues that we'd like considered in that writing, the next couple of days is the time to get them in.
Right. But the point is then that there is no process or mechanism for the stakeholders who are really affected by all this to actually have an impact other than just to comment. We have no vote. We have no other influence.
Right. This group is a consensus group, I'm told, so there will be no votes in it, and we do have two participants that participate in that consensus, though I'm not quite sure how that consensus is defined. There will be a public comment, but that is the extent of it, yes.
And this is Denise. Of course, the output from the IDNC in proposing a fast-track methodology, that output will be open for comment. from all of the supporting organizations and advisory committees. And I'll provide you with, I think it would be helpful to provide the CNSO with more information on the steps involved in a CCNSO PDP. It's, there's some notable differences with the GNSO, but since they're launching their IDN PDP, it'll be useful for you to see the steps that it goes through. There's a number of opportunities for additional comment on that as well.
And Aubrey, Trita, if I could just jump in here.
Certainly.
I just want to, you know, I the board's aware of that letter that you all sent, and I've heard some of the comments. I just want to make sure that everyone's clear that this wasn't meant to be, and I think perhaps we used some wrong terminology when we set a fast track, but this really wasn't meant to be, if you will, carte blanche for the CNSO to decide how to apportion IDNs in any way. This really was meant to be a scenario to expedite what we would consider sort of non-contentious translations of the current CC TLDs. So I think that, as Denise said, the board does not intend to just have this report come out and then have that, you know, approved without substantial input from other constituencies. So, you know, you all will have the opportunity to comment, and I encourage everyone to do so. And you know, at least myself, I appreciate the letter that went to the board so that we understand that there are some of these issues at the outset, because I think that will be helpful when the board is ultimately considering whatever report comes out of this working group.
Yes, thank you, Rita. One last thing, Tim. This is one of the reasons why I think we will be sitting face-to-face with the CCNSO Council during New Delhi, is it will be a chance to have some of these discussions, and while it maybe isn't, you know, always what we could have hoped for, it certainly would be a good opportunity to start airing some of these issues. I'd like to move on to Chuck.
Thanks, Aubrey. Let me follow up first with Tim's questions and the discussion you're just having. I think it's more important than ever that we finish our the work we're doing in our response to the CCNSO GAC issues paper and IDN CCTLDs in a timely manner, and hopefully we can finish that you know, act on that in New Delhi, because I think the sooner we get the GNSO input into this, the bigger PDP process, the better. And some of that, of course, relates to the to what might happen in the fast track as well. And I think, and that's later on the agenda, so I won't talk more about that, because we can talk about that then. But Tim, the reason I bring that up is one of the issues that we've grappled with in the small group is what you're talking about, this whole contractual issue, and tied into that is a fair competitive landscape, which I'm sure is part of your concern there. So I bring that up now because it's going to be really important that we as a council act as soon as we can to get that those responses finalized from a council point of view. And our goal is by the end of this month to have a document with proposed responses for full council consideration distributed very quickly, so that when we go into Delhi, we can actually finalize that and get that into the CCNSO, as well as other elements of the community. Obviously, it's a response to the board too. So we're very, very conscious of the issues you're raising. Now, Edmund, I want to thank you for distributing the draft issues paper for the IDNC, and wanted to ask you to refresh my memory. Do I remember correctly that the goal is to have a first cut on that issues paper before New Delhi?
Yes, 1st of February, I think. Let me pull up this document. Yes, 1st of February is the target date to post the initial report publicly, and the sort of to start the public comment period for the that's the interim report. It is the interim report.
That may be the same thing. I don't know.
It's probably It may be the same thing, okay? It's now called the initial report, but in the schedule was called the interim report. It's probably the same thing.
Okay.
And so February 1st would be.
Thanks.
Okay. Okay, Mike?
Oh, yeah, thanks. I'm just following up procedurally because I was a little confused. I think I've got it now. So this initial report that you sent around, Edmund, is open now for comment amongst the working group. Obviously, it's important that the GNSO reps make some comments, particularly, there's still a question in here in the string selection section about, whether the string must be a meaningful representation of the name of the territory or an abbreviation of the name of the territory. And of course, I think that we on the GNSO have been almost unanimous that it absolutely must be. And I just want to urge you to make sure to make comments on that.
By the way, Mike, I think that all this draft issues report is a skeleton that they're going to fill in on it. I think it's just an outline of the report. Is that not correct, Edmund?
No, this is the initial report. But, yeah, and the I think the aim for this exercise from now to February is to list out all the questions and not really to answer them yet. So I guess I definitely hear you, loud and clear, Mike, and I think, we're all on the same page. And I think to a large degree there people there in GAC and CCNSO is also on the same page on this particular issue. Right now it's just a list of questions, and we're just trying to compile the full list of questions by February. That's sort of the
question. Oh, so there's not going to be any attempt to answer any of the questions before Delhi.
Correct.
Okay. I just have one more comment then. I'd like to see a question in here, a topic, specifically on the security implications, the phishing, anti-phishing implications from IDNs, and whether IDNs, CCTLDs ought to adopt, different practices, perhaps even over and above the existing IDNA protocols.
I think that's a good addition. I apologize. You did mention to me about that. Apologize, I haven't sent it in yet. I think it should be added into one of the areas where it does talk about the additional technical requirements, whether there should be additional technical and registry policy requirements for the IDN CCTL, like the registry operator. So yes, I think that's a good addition, specifically talking about phishing relative to IDN and the security stability angle of things.
Thanks, Ed.
Okay, thank you. Did anyone else have any more? We're running a little longer on time. We'll come back to this topic many times over the next meetings, and in fact, we'll have a long session on these in New Delhi. But does anyone have a final question or comment they would like to make now before we move on?
Yeah, it's me, Tom. I just need some clarification. If you talk about not controversial TLDs, are we just talking about translation of already existing CCTLDs, like RU to something and Cyrillic, or are we talking about, to stick with that example, .Russia in Cyrillic?
I don't know that they've actually defined what non-contentious means.
Okay.
there's
no clear scope.
Right, we haven't quite defined it yet, but I'm glad that there is a section that talks about objection procedure, whether there should be one, and if so, how sort of it will be done. So I guess if there's a some strong objection, then it means it's controversial. I'm just completely guessing at this point.
But there's no built-in limitation on just existing CCTLDs.
There is a built-in understanding that it is associated with the ISO 3166 list, and I would quote directly from here, from the report. It says a limited number of non-contentious IDN ccTLDs associated with the ISO 3166 two-letter code. So this is part of the charter. So there is this limitation, but, you know,
maybe Rita could say what her understanding is or what she thinks of Ordis' understanding under that.
I think in general, most people on the group is on the same page in this one. It is whether, you know, once we get into the situation of what language is allowed, whether official language or, you know, how official it has to be, that's when we get into, that's when we might get into a discussion. But having the name being, you know, associated almost directly with the 3166, almost like a translation, in your words, I guess, is sort of the consensus, although again, there hasn't been much discussion.
Thank you, Edmund.
Okay. Thanks. Okay, moving on, as I said, we'll come back to these topics quite frequently, and we should discuss further on the list any issues that come up. Okay, item 7 had been moved until after item 10. So the next one was item 8, which had been called proxy vote proposal, but I guess should be called enfranchisement of the GNSS Council's voting responsibilities. And Philip, would you like to introduce the topic?
Sure. I sent the document to the list earlier today, so I don't suggest that we have any formal decision upon it, but just wanted to air where we had got. As you recall, the purpose was recognizing that on almost all of our meetings, there was always one or more council members absent, therefore they can't vote. Is there some way of enfranchising them? We discussed as a group and came up with a perfectly workable proposal for proxy voting, i.e. when you give your vote to somebody else to vote on your behalf. However, having done that, we then asked ourselves a question. Given the nature of our communication, which is often by email, could such a system of absent voting also be done by electronic voting? And having had some discussion about that, we came up with the answer, well, yes, indeed, it could be done. And the criteria under which it had to be done would be that the decision to enable electronic voting for those council members absent would have to be made according to a fixed rule, so there would be no discussion about it. It would trigger under certain circumstances. Otherwise, the vote could essentially be fixed, and that would be unethical. And the proposal that we have sent to you is one we believe that achieves that objective. So it's an alternative to proxy voting. We didn't think that the two systems were necessary. That would just be duplicative and potentially confusing, and thought on balance that perhaps in our world this idea of being able to exercise a vote, and we recommend it typically within 48 hours of a meeting, if you happen to be miss the meeting itself, would be useful. We recognize that typically that would only be useful for significant votes where there would be a roll call type vote. And the criteria that we said would trigger such a vote was quite simple, really, especially when adding in those absent votes might make a difference in some way. So in other words, if we've only got one absent vote, but everybody else has voted yes, it wouldn't make any difference. There's no point in having the process. But if it might change a vote from yes to no, or in case of census policy, if it might change the vote from majority to supermajority, then that would be the reasons for triggering the ability for the absent voters to cast their vote.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to open up for questions in a second. One thing I do want to propose is, and two things I want to propose, and so I'd like to get comments on that too, is one, to ask Liz, who wrote the original thing, to take this back and discuss it with Dan and just get feedback for us, and also a determination of if indeed this requires a bylaw change, which I expect it does, but I would like to hear that from them. And then two, if at all possible, for us to make a decision on this at our next meeting. So those are the two suggestions I'd have in terms of how we proceed with this. And now I'd like to open the queue both to ask questions of Philip about the proposal, some initial comments, comments on my suggested way forward, but not a whole lot of discussion. We'll get into that as we move along. Who would like to be in the queue?
Chuck.
Tim.
Christina, please.
Okay, I have Chuck, Tim, Christina, Tom. Chuck, Tim, Christina, Tom. Anyone else?
Johnny Harris.
Tony.
And Tom Bing.
Tom Bing. Okay. Chuck.
Yes, first of all, I want to thank Philip for taking the lead on this group because he did a very good job. But I also want to call attention to what Philip put in his email message sending this proposal out today. One of the issues that we need to consider separately but probably should do soon is the whole issue of conflict of interest. And I don't think we need to talk about that now, but I'd like to suggest that we get that as we're working on this, that we also work on the conflict of interest issue. And we can talk more about that in another meeting because I think we're running short of time today. But we do need to also talk about that at the same time because that was one of the issues that came up in the way proxy voting was used before. And secondly, and I can defer this to later, but I do think as we look at the proposal, there's one suggested change that I'd like us to talk about in the proposal, and I can defer that till after people have had a chance to read it. So unless people want me to bring that up now, I'll wait.
Okay, thanks. Tim?
Did you say Tim?
Yeah, you were second, weren't you?
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Philip, for your work on this and for the group's work on this. I think it is very good. Just one question I had under number four, under the proposed rules of procedure. The fourth bullet there says an e-vote by default will start upon receipt of an e-vote solicitation from the Secretariat and finish 48 hours after the start of the meeting. And I just was curious if you'd given any thought or maybe make some suggestion that be some time frame associated with when the Secretariat would make that solicitation. So it's understood exactly how much time there is between when that's done and then the 48 hours after the start of the meeting.
Yeah, let me start your question the other way around. The 48 hours came out because recognizing that we all start typically these phone calls at certain hours of the day, 48 hours means something quite easy to calculate. It's whatever your local time zone was for this call's start time 2 days later and seemed about the right period in terms of enabling absent voters. And that leads into the question of, okay, well, when does the vote start? And clearly the vote can only start once you've had the solicitation form from the Secretariat. So our feeling is that will be a standard-type form that will be sent out almost immediately by the Secretariat at the end of the meeting or even during the currency of the next agenda item to those absent voters.
Okay, so there would be some intent that the e-vote solicitation would be sent out immediately or within...
Yes, I mean, I think as soon as practical, but there would only be simple emails which could be prepared in advance and would go to those members who've already indicated not going to be on the call, so preparation could be fairly minimal.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. I have Christina next.
Philip and the rest of the group that worked on this, thank you very much. I found this very clear and helpful, and I think it's probably something that will be viewed favorably, at least I hope so. I did have a question under number four, under process. The third bullet point refers to the fact that the casting of the e-vote affirms the voter's knowledge of the underlying issue. And I was curious as to whether in the course of the discussions it had ever been proposed that anyone casting an e-vote had to first either read the transcript or listen to the recording of the meeting that they missed before casting
that vote, because I do know that there have been times where we voted and where we started at the beginning of the meeting was very different from where we were at the time that we actually voted.
Yes, I mean, everything you say is part of the discussion that we had that ended up with that wording you see under 4.3. Because I think part of the fundamental objection to voting by people not on the call is the fact they may not be aware of the issue. So we felt that the way around that would be that in casting your vote, which basically means in replying to the Council Secretariat email, that would have a standard phrasing which would be affirming the voter's knowledge of the underlying issue and discussion that took place. So that would be an undertaking by the absent voter that they have an understanding about what they're voting on. We didn't think it appropriate in a set of rules to be too mechanistic in terms of how they've acquired that knowledge or the nature of the understanding. We would trust the council member to do that, but we just felt that the affirmation that they're aware of the issue would be sufficient.
All right, that's helpful. I would actually suggest that maybe we think about broadening that a little bit to be affirm the voter's knowledge of the underlying issue and awareness of the discussion that occurred at the meeting.
Mm.
Because there are certainly issues on which you can be familiar with the issue.
Yes, but again, there may not be, it might have been a very clear-cut vote that the constituency had discussed ad nauseam before that,
mm-hmm.
and had a clear view on how they were going to vote. And for some reason, the absent councillor is absent because they're on holiday. They don't want to spend 2 hours listening to an MP3 recording, or they can't download it in the hotel, but they can answer an email.
Okay.
So, you know, for every good reason, there's always perhaps a reason why not. So we felt it would be sufficient in a rule to leave that up to the councillor to act in good faith, essentially. By making that affirmation, which is part of the reason we have the rule right at the end, which is abuse and unintended consequences, based on the evaluation process to see if things like that assumption of good faith prove not to be the case.
Okay.
Yeah, I would think that, you know, you also this could have a circumstance where someone has explained to them blow by blow what happened on it, and also even when people are in the meeting, you know, there's no way of ascertaining that people are actually paying attention to all the discussion before a vote happens. So, you know, even saying you must have listened to the MP3 is, I think it makes sense for someone to have asserted that they listened, because we can't enforce anything anyway.
Right. No, I certainly acknowledge that. And I guess where I'm going with this is to anticipate whatever objections we might get from this, and to the extent that may be one of them, is there something that would need to be done further? I mean, maybe the way is just when we present it to make clear that this issue was considered and this is how we addressed it.
That sounds good. Okay, I have Tom, Tony Harris, and John Bing still. So, Tom.
If you mean me, I didn't have any comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I heard you. Then perhaps I missed somebody else's name, and if I did, please let me know. Okay, Tony Harris.
Yes, I just wanted to thank Philip and the group for this solution that's being proposed, and we've had some discussion in our constituency, and we think it's a great idea.
Okay, thank you. John Bing.
Thank you. I also think it's a good job, and also that it's been kept very little bureaucratic or formal. I have two questions or two comments, perhaps. I note that from item 2, only council members may cast an e-vote, but of course we have an issue of authentication here, which we don't have on the voice calls, because we probably recognize each other's voice. But in this case, we have to do it on trust. I just wanted to mention it as an observation. And also the triggering of the e-vote, it is, I think, no bullet point 1 and the 4 combined with 5, which will trigger off the e-vote. I was wondering if alternatives have been considered, for instance, an explicit decision from the meeting to move towards an e-vote.
Yes, John, that's exactly the discussion we had. And the difficulty with making a decision under certain circumstances is that you would essentially means there's a vote of those on the call as to whether or not they wish to enfranchise those votes who are not on the call.
Indeed, that's what it would be.
And that struck us as in whatever way we did it, as being unethical.
Yes.
So that's how we ended up with this rule, which triggers it based on the modification of change of outcome.
Yeah. Because also another alternative would, of course, be requests from those not on the call.
Yes, although we assume that typically absent voters would wish to participate by virtue of the fact they had stood for election to be on council in the first place. At least we're
still only open. Make sure the alternatives have been considered.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments or questions?
Yeah, one quick one, Alan.
Okay, Alan?
Yeah. Regarding John's comment of authentication, since these votes are going to be solicited, what I've done in previous similar cases is the solicitation simply includes, you know, a random number or whatever, and that has to come back in the answer. And that pretty well locks in that it's the right person answering.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments?
So okay. Aubrey, it's Liz.
Yes, hi Liz. I was going to ask you.
So just following up then on the procedural, I can make sure that I have been keeping Dan in the loop, but I'll make sure that he, you know, takes a hard look at the proposal as it stands right now, specifically answer the question about the bylaws change and, you know, comment otherwise on any areas of concern, remaining areas of concern. And I'll ask him to specifically consider the issue that Christina is raising about, you know, for lack of a better word, you know, the sufficiency of the attestation that you're familiar with, the full robust discussion, and get his view on that.
Okay, thank you. And what I'll probably do is, or someone else can do it, we can work together, is once we've gotten some clue on that, put together a possible motion for taking this further, but that really depends on what it is we have to do. Do we send it to the Board Governance Committee, asking them to consider this bylaw change or whatever? So hopefully Dan can also give us a clear-cut view of what our next step needs to be in order to make this happen, assuming that that's what we vote to do. Thank you all for the comments, and especially thank you to the drafting team and Philip for doing the work on this. Okay, moving on to the next item. The next item was a first discussion on the domain tasting initial report. Now, I wasn't really looking for us to get into a contentful discussion on this one, but basically once the comment period is over on any of these, and this really goes for both the domain tasting report and the inter-registrar transfers, PDP, we need to go into the deliberation period. Now, the deliberation period is either us saying we've got enough information, let's talk, and then let's vote, or it may include the necessity to start a working group to deal with issues that have been brought forward. I think in many cases, unless the issue is very clear-cut and there's clear-cut recommendations that are being acted on, it will involve some form of working group. What I was looking at in terms of how we did this is during the time that the initial report is out for comments, that we would look at putting together, again, a small team, call it drafting team for want of a better word, to make a proposal to the council on how we would proceed with the deliberations. And this could include, you know, a proposed motion if things are clear cut enough that we'd need to talk through, or it could include the proposal for a working group charter or what have you. So I basically wanted to open up that idea, both as a general idea for the two PDPs that we've got coming, and also, you know, in terms of people starting to think specifically about both with the domain tasting and with the inter-register transfer, how do we want to proceed? The other thing I wanted to bring up is, of course, the need to make sure that we get all of our constituency statements in for everything. So I'd like to open first on a discussion on the domain tasting, a queue to sort of discuss the way of moving forward.
Aubrey, it's Mike Rodenbaum. I have three questions.
Okay. Anyone else want to be in the queue? Or do we want to queue? Excuse me?
This is Denise. I'd like to get in the queue.
Denise, okay. Next.
Tim,
next.
Christina.
Anyone else?
Chuck.
Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Mike.
Okay, first of all, have we seen the registrar constituency statement yet?
No.
All right, any update on when that might be provided?
It may be a couple weeks yet, Mike, the way it's looking right now.
But it intends to come in by the end of the comment period?
Yes.
Okay, so this is open for public comment now, correct? When does it close?
28th of January.
And then finally, the final conclusion section noted again that we had encouraged ICANN staff to apply the ICANN reg fee to names registered, and the staff was pursuing that option. I'm just wondering what the status of that is.
Maybe that's something Denise will respond to when we get to her.
Yes.
Okay, Mike. Denise?
Yes. Thank you for setting up that question for me. Staff, as the GNSO Council has recommended, staff has been pursuing including this in the next fiscal year budget, and the first draft of the budget that will be issued for discussion in New Delhi will contain this.
Okay. Okay, Tim. Thank you, Tim.
Well, that was my question as well. Just where the staff was on that. If that would be in the budget, sounds like it will be. So I guess that. I think that might weigh in on the decision then as to how we proceed, or if we need to proceed, and if there's some reasonable time we should give for that to kind of go through the process before we take any further action.
Okay. Yeah. What may be, and if, for example, we proceed with the idea of having a small team put together a motion for how we proceed, what they may just come out with is a well-formed motion for delay until the following things have occurred, and that might be the right answer.
Could I comment on that specifically?
Sure.
The reason I want to jump in is because one of the things we have to keep in mind, if we're thinking about a mechanism through the budget that would possibly solve most of the problems. One of the difficulties with that is that the budget's not going to be approved until the end of this fiscal year, which is in June, and then it has to be approved, at least portions of it that would affect registrar fees would have to be approved by the registrar constituency. All I'm saying is we just need to be aware if we delay things because that might solve the problem, we need to be aware of the time frame that we're talking about.
Yeah, just one correction real quick, Chuck, and you probably were aware of this, but the registrars don't approve the budget. They just approve how the budget's paid or how I can get the fees. So I can sit in the budget. The registrars could all say, no, we don't want to do it. Doesn't mean it has to come out of the budget. It just means it's collected through the registries instead of paid directly to ICANN. So I just want to make that point.
Thanks, Tim. That is correct, yeah.
Okay. Christina, you were next.
Well, that was actually, Chuck essentially asked the question that I had, but just to kind of flesh it out a little bit, would it be inaccurate to say that assuming and limiting ourselves right now to just this budget option, am I correct in thinking that we'd be looking at fall of 2008 before things were actually in place and had been in place long enough for us to determine whether or not it had an appreciable impact?
it'd be longer than that. I think it'd be at least winter.
Yeah.
Because the registries don't even report the stats except on a 3-month trailing basis.
Oh, you're right. I forgot about that.
No, that's not really true, Mike. That might be true if that's the only way you're looking to confirm it, but I think there's other ways to evaluate that. The zone files are publicly available. Some statistical analysis of that could give a good indication. Just like it's been clear to us since this Odell lawsuit that it's had an impact on tasting that we could see from the zone files. So I think there's other ways it can be confirmed.
And there's one other thing that's not true in that, Mike. The registries report that the data monthly. It just doesn't become public information for 90 days.
Okay. And one other quick comment is that, as soon as this is seen to be in the budget or potentially in the budget, I think we could start seeing an impact pretty quickly.
Okay.
Possibly in the other direction, however.
Yeah.
That's for a short time, so
now
before
it gets too expensive.
Okay.
Well, July 1st, right.
Okay. Chuck, did you have another comment you wish to make?
Yeah,
or did you get your
original comment was going to be, as I understood the report that's already out there, the initial report, it specifically recommended three questions, I think, in the terms of reference that needed to be answered. And it certainly seems to me, without having all the facts in front of us right now, that unless we just decide to delay anything happening at all, that more work is needed, and I think that was even stated in some cases in the report. And so that a working group or working group seems like the right way to go on this as we get more of the facts.
Okay, thank you. Did anyone else want to comment at this point?
I would just comment on Chuck's last comment that I disagree, but we will take that when it comes.
Okay.
Actually, Aubrey, I just wanted to make an observation, and this is really more for staff. The feedback that I'm getting, and just to share with you, is that a lot of folks in the trademark community kind of are of the view that when they participated in the RFI and they did the supplemental RFI, that they've commented and they will endeavor to comment again, but that they are concerned about, the fact that you may not get the same type of volume of comments that you may have gotten had we not had an RFI, that they're concerned that not be viewed as a lack of interest in the topic, and ask that I convey that information.
Okay, Christina, we'll make sure that all the staff involved get that message.
Okay, thanks. What I'd like to do now, since there's been a couple options from, just a motion that says we'll wait, to a notion that there is more work to be done, that there may be several motions that need to come out, that it might be advisable to have a working group, and if so, that working group would need to have a charter for us to discuss. Is there any objection to starting a design team, not a design team, a drafting team at the moment to sort of start putting in place some of the motions, suggestions, and charters that would form the starting point for the deliberations when we get there? I'm hearing no objection. Do I have any volunteers of people that would like to participate in that? And it won't be closed at this point, but I'd like to get a couple people that start forming the nucleus. What I'd suggest again is that, as we kind of did with the team that put together the suggestion on voting, that they would sort of, this group would self-select its chair, and that we would ask one member of staff to work with them in terms of coordinating.
Aubrey, can I ask a couple clarification questions?
Sure.
What kind of timetable do you anticipate for this? And how much of the work do you expect would happen at Delhi? And I'm particularly interested in the answer to the latter because, barring a number of unlikely events, I will not be attending. And,
okay.
Yeah, it's going to be hard.
Yeah, I mean, basically, by the timetables, we need to start our deliberations in Delhi. Because the public comment period will be over, And I don't have the piece of paper in front of me now, but it's only a number of days. I mean, then there's the final report, and then we start deliberations.
Yeah, it's 10 calendar days for the...
Right. So basically, Delhi is the time for us to start that.
All right.
So basically, I would be looking for this group to, between now and Delhi, or certainly several days, you know, days before that, to have basically scoped out at least some of what we would need to start talking about. There may be more that would happen after that. One of the things that was going to come up in response to your question earlier is either Saturday or Sunday, this topic was going to be one of the major topics of conversation in New Delhi. And at that point, we would basically be beginning the deliberative process. And I would like to start that deliberative process with this design team coming out with its initial recommendations of how we move along.
All right. I mean, as long as my presence in Delhi isn't going to be a requirement for being on the design team, I'd like to be involved.
Yeah, I don't think so. And, I mean, hopefully you'll be able to participate remotely. I know how difficult that is.
It's Alan. Could you put my name on also?
Sure. Anyone else want to be on the initial group? As I said, we can get more people on. Excuse me?
Me, please. Mike.
Mike?
And Tim. And again, I will not likely be in Delhi, so as long as that's not a condition.
No, I don't think it is a condition. I don't think it should be.
In fact, shouldn't. I mean, ideally, the design team would finish its work before Delhi so we can look at that if we need to, right?
It should certainly finish a first pass. I can certainly imagine an outcome of the first part of the deliberative pass asking them to, you know, do some more work. But yeah, we would need the first draft before then. Okay, well, that's a good group to start if others want to. Liz, Olaf, which of you can I ask to work with this team?
I will.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thanks. Any more on this one before we move on to the next topic? As I say, I'm sure we'll have lots more discussion on this. Okay. Now, the next topic really has two parts. One of them... And it's the first part, and I don't know how far we need to get with it, but just, I guess we've gotten now three constituency statements. Liz?
Sorry. We're on IRT now?
Yes.
We've gotten two.
Well, two, so we haven't gotten another one yet.
Not that I know of. Registry and business constituency. Unless something's come in the last 12 hours, but
yes,
I'll defer to Glenn.
Did one get sent to the list, or did NCFC send theirs in?
No, this is Robin. We'll have ours in early next week.
Oh, okay. I guess I confused the promise of a constituency report with a constituency report. I apologize. Okay. So the first part is basically it doesn't make sense yet to talk too much about our initial steps and how we're going to move along until we get out to initial report. At the moment, the schedule on the initial report is slipping because we need to have more of these constituency statements. And I don't know how to ask other than to keep nagging people.
Well, can't we ask, Robin was very helpful in terms of providing an estimate when they would have theirs in. If the other three constituencies could do the same, I think that would be helpful.
Okay. So NCUC promised next week.
This is Christina. We should have ours by the end of next week as well.
Okay. So that's IPC next week. And the other two, who else needs one, Liz?
Registrars,
ISPs.
And ISPs, okay.
I think registrars should, but our intention is to have it in before the end of the month.
Okay, so that would be two more weeks. 2 more weeks, what's the date? End of month.
And for the ISPs, Avery, I think we'll try and make it a little bit shorter than that, but... throughout.
So
that.
Can I put you down for next for the end of next week, like NCUC and IPC?
We'll try and aim for that.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thanks. Now, the next part of this topic is the how to proceed with the report that we got from Ross. I think I'll ask you to talk first, Chuck, since I believe you have a suggestion for a way to proceed with this.
Yeah, and just to bring everybody up to speed in case you're not up to speed, because I know this particular issue isn't as hot a topic for some of you, and I appreciate that. They took the list of total issues where improvements in the registrar transfer policy could be made, and they came up with a priorities list. And I think there was in the neighborhood of 20 items on that list, and they did a nice job of creating priorities. The next step then, keep in mind this is totally separate from the PDP that we've already initiated, that we're just talking about the statements from the constituencies. In addition to those items that are in the PDP, there were quite a few other issues with regard to transfer policy where improvements could possibly be made. And so the next step then is to decide whether how we would approach the remaining items, whether or not we would create PDPs for those. Now, it's my own personal opinion that tackling one at a time with a separate PDP isn't a very good way to go. And at the same time, how do we group them? They don't necessarily group into real clear divisions. At the same time, I think the people that could most readily help us come up with a plan of attack for the rest of the items, and that could include a recommendation that some of them may be dropped off the list. I'm not suggesting that, but just saying that could be an option, would be to ask the group that did the nice job of prioritization if they would consent to doing a little bit more work, and if somebody else wanted to join that group, I don't think that would be a problem, to develop a plan for working on the rest of the items that they prioritize. And that could mean grouping them into maybe three or four groups for PDPs, and whether or not those could run concurrently or maybe sequentially, some things like that. I think it's going to be very difficult for us as a council to, because of the lack of, for many, the lack of direct knowledge in terms of the transfer policy and day-to-day interactions on it, to do this. And so if that group would be willing to do that, I think they could then come back, say, by Delhi, with a recommended plan that we could then evaluate and then approve or modify or whatever.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to take a cue on discussing that. Would anyone like to speak on it?
All of here, could I be in the queue, please?
Yes.
Yeah, Tom would like to be in the queue as well.
Tom, anyone else? Okay, start with Olaf.
Yeah, just to give a little background information about the deliberations within that particular working group, because they had themselves considered whether to advance this work further in clustering the proposals or something else, and rather preferred to have that done by the council. Given that they had various approaches to in their setting of priorities, so I think it would be very useful if they can get some further advice from the council as to whether then to group it according to affinity of grouping the subjects according to how close they are in sort of conceptual terms, or whether the running order should rather be start with the low-hanging fruit and continue with the more difficult ones, or conversely, whether there should be a preferred running order saying that, well, let's start with the very important matters first that matters most in economic terms, or something of the sort. So, well, just I think a vicarious way of transferring desire from their side to have a little more guidance on how they should do this particular planning.
Okay. I have one question, which I'd like to ask on that. If, and it doesn't seem unreasonable, the council were to put together, again, a small team that would do that work, wouldn't most of what needed to be done have been done at that point, and that small team could probably just continue the whole recommendation to the council? Does my question make sense? And isn't that the bulk of the work that would need to be done, is deciding on which of those was the preferable option? Because once you make the decision on what's the preferable option, doesn't the ordering and clustering start to fall out almost automatically?
It might.
Yeah, okay. Maybe or maybe not.
Okay. Tom, you were on the queue.
Thank you. Well, I just want to reinforce what Olaf just said. I've been part of that group, and the actually finding of what is important to each of the groups or members of the groups was very difficult. So we had to decide whether we go with more operational stuff, which are clearly the registries and the registrars and most of the registrants are very interested in, or more in certain compliance issues, or more into the area of dispute regulation, stuff like that, inside of the transfer process. So it was very hard to come to common terms, actually. So if we were to reconvene that working group, it would just mean that we would throw away all the work that has been done in the past and we would just do it all over again. Having said that, I wouldn't mind doing that, but we would have to have some more clear advice in regard to what the council actually wants. So if it is grouping, we can do groupings, you know, but at the end, I don't really think that this group should decide on the priority, but just on what kind of PDPs could be achieved. Saying that, I don't really think we need a working group for that. So that could be done by a small subgroup of the council pretty fast, I guess. I mean, there are just like 4 to 5 issues if you do the grouping, and then the council could decide what should be pursued first.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments?
I think that may be a workable approach that you suggested, Aubrey. So if we have volunteers, maybe that's the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've heard at this point, I think that throwing it over the wall back to them, giving it back to them would feel to them like throwing it over the wall back to them without us doing more work. So we can put together a small drafting team to sort of draft up a solution. Now, what they come up with may be a recommendation to the group on, here, we'd like you to take it back and do it this way, or that group might be able to just solve the problem and make the recommendation directly to the council of, we should do a PDP on this, then one on that, then one on the other, and again, leave it to that group to figure out what its solution is. Is anyone against following that pattern?
Avery Philip here. I think the pattern is fine. In terms of our approach, I thought it's fairly clear that we have a duty of care. Well, ICANN has a duty of care in terms of its administration of the Internet. So I think our judgment here must be, what are those elements which have the potential to be doing most harm out there to the user community, and therefore those are the ones that should be addressed first. And I thought that as a overarching principle in terms of the way that we approach this might be helpful guidance.
Okay, and that does sound like one of the principles that people have followed, though sometimes, you know, that may look like an issue that will take a long time, and therefore people have come up with but let's do, bigger effect for small amount of work kind of relativism. So, Philip, does that mean I could put you on this small team to help figure it out, since you have some vision on how we should proceed with this?
It's an issue that's been hosted on the BC by a non-council member. I will think about that.
Okay, thanks.
This is Tom. Do you have a comment?
Sure, please.
Okay. Just one thought I had about how we would proceed or how this working group might proceed is, I think Philip makes a good point.
But I don't think we want to just ignore the prioritization that was done by the working group. But I do think, you know, that there's some validity to maybe taking those issues and trying to put them into groups. But, again, looking at the prioritization and, you know, what's of major importance to the community, that there may be some of the, you know, one or two of those that may have to be drawn out and approached individually, just because of the, you know, its controversialness or the impact that it'll have or the amount of time that a PDP on it might take, and so that we don't group some things together that are going to become, you know, like a three-year drawn-out process. So the grouping might have some benefit, but I don't think it's necessarily the whole, will solve the whole problem.
Okay. Thank you. Now, I would suggest you being on the team, too, but you're already on another one, and so you would really have to think carefully about whether you wanted to participate in two of them at the same time. Do we have any volunteers for this group to go away and spend some intense mental cycles on this over the next week or two?
Sure. That's me. Tom.
Tom? Okay. Anyone else?
I'll jump in. I'm involved
good,
in other
Chuck.
Things, too, but I'll try and do it. Help.
Okay, good. And so I've got Tom and Chuck, and then maybe a Philip and Tim, even though Tim didn't say a word. Anyone else?
From the okay. Cloth side, I'll certainly help out as best I can.
Thank you. Okay, well, we'll start with two. If there are some other people that would like to join in, I think that a size of at least three helps in these groups, but if two people can do it, that's fine, too, to make a recommendation. So if anyone else would like to volunteer, I think that'd be good. Okay.
Avery, I will do it. If there's no other volunteer, I just think you've got one registrar, one rep from a
registry,
and I think someone from another constituency would be
right.
Better.
But, thanks. Yeah, I'm hoping Philip, who has just come off finishing one and doing a wonderful job, will jump into another one. But yes, having a couple people from other constituencies would seem like a really good idea, or perhaps one of our non-com participants might want to jump in.
Yeah, I've referred to it. My current reluctance is that I'm out of play for about the next 10 days or so before we head
okay.
off, so it's not very good timing for me. But the meeting may propose the guy who hosted this ourselves, if you have it, about having a non-council member, because he is already
in topic. We've been informal about doing these. So far, we've always had just council, but I don't see any reason why that needs to be the case.
Hmm.
I don't know if the others do. Okay, was somebody else trying to say something that I got cut off? Okay, no. So perhaps another BC, and I'd like to ask people from the other constituencies or our other NOMCOM appointees to think about jumping into this one.
Just one more comment for Tim. You know, Tim, it's always good to have people from multiple constituencies, but on this particular issue, because of the knowledge of transfers, registries from the point of view of the dispute resolution process and registrars from dealing with it day-to-day, I actually think it's a case where it's not a problem to have a little bit heavier membership in this activity from that side of the game.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. So.
Okay. Anything more on this issue before we move on to the next? Okay. The next one is the moved item 7. Patrick, are you here?
I am here.
Fantastic. Okay. If you were going to give us sort of a update on where we are on this reserve names, a single and two character names at the second level issue.
Sure. And thank you for accommodating my request to move this item later in the call. As you know, the forum for allocation methods on single letter domains was conducted from October 16th to December 15th of 2007, and I created a summary of all the comments that was first posted on December 23rd, and then with some helpful suggestions from Chuck, a revised version was posted on December 29th. And so out of that, staff has been looking at all of the options for or the suggestions that have been presented so far on allocation of single letter names, and staff is exploring options as a possibility and expect to post a announcement seeking expressions of interest in helping ICANN with the development of auction design and processes for a number of areas, not just on single letter domain names at the second level. And it's expected that that work will proceed throughout the rest of the year. I don't really have much further on it at this point, other than the staff is creating a document that can be provided back to the council with recommendations on how to proceed with allocation methods. So I don't know if you want to take up discussion of the comments that were submitted during the period, or the idea of auctions themselves. I mean, the comments were actually pretty extensive for a comment period, and there were a lot of really good suggestions. I spent a long time going through all of them and making sure they were all represented in the summary.
Okay. I guess before I open it up to questions, I wonder if you can sort of, and not really to discuss all the comments, but just give some idea of the breadth of the comments and where they're sort of leading, other than auctions, which I guess has obviously been a strong pull since you mentioned that as one of the solution paths.
So at the high level, there were 36 comments received during the comment period. Comments came in from, over 10 countries, a wide variety of members of the community. Registry constituency submitted a position statement. There were statements from individuals, registrars, members of the at-large, and other parties from the security world don't tend to comment on ICANN development. The comments tend to fall in a couple areas on technical and process, auctions and the use of funds, whether to offer first come or first serve or equal opportunities to names, and then how to handle potential conflicts with parties that may have claims to prior or rights in single letter names. So that's where the comments tended to fall. The majority of the comments tended to favor auctions as a model. We haven't taken a position one way or the other, what the best way forward is, except that we have identified a need to get further research and explore auctions for a number of areas, not just on single letter names.
Okay, thank you. I'll take a cue of people that would like to either offer comments or ask questions.
Avery, it's Alan. I just have one quick comment. The link that's being provided doesn't work.
Okay.
It's not for me.
I have a question as well. It's Mike.
Okay, Mike. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Mike.
So the public comments have been now taken in, and I'm not understanding, Patrick, what you said was the next step. Apparently staff has decided to request an RFP for what exactly?
Looking for expressions of interest in auction process design and management to provide some additional guidance to ICANN on auctions for this area and several others. And staff is also preparing a position paper that can that's going to discuss a possible way forward with the allocation of single letter names.
Okay, so I guess in short, what's happening right now is staff is working on a proposal to put back to the council for consideration, and auctions is obviously going to be a part of that proposal.
Staff is working on a proposal at this point.
Okay.
But is that proposal intended to come back to us for a consideration and decision, or what?
That's still in discussion internally.
Okay. I guess I'm not really sure what that means, but it just seems like that must be the next step, because council has never decided on allocation methods at all. We haven't really discussed that.
Yeah, I would think and I would hope that it would come back to the council as we had recommendations pending on reserve names and pending all of the information gathering and recommendations. So I would certainly hope that it would come back. But any other comments or questions at this point? Okay, thank you, Patrick.
Just one more clarification, the link that Alan mentioned has been corrected. So if you click on the public comment forum page and click summary of analysis of comments, it does take you to the page where the updated PDF is located.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. The next item on the agenda was a quick pass through the action item review, basically the issues that are still open or changes since last time, and there's a couple points I wanted to show. First of all, on the IRT PDP, we've already discussed it again, but the initial report has been pushed back. I guess at this point, the soonest, Liz, that you could possibly have it out, given that the last one is scheduled to come in at the end of the month, would be the first week of February, second week of February, because there's a meeting. Is that correct?
Yeah, and that would be tough because I'd be doing both. And
right. So what are we looking at?
So.
Right. So 15th February is too soon. When would be a proper date to put in for it, do you think?
Bear with me.
Yeah, because we've pushed out the submit constituency reports has really now been pushed out to 30 Jan.
Right. Well, assuming we get them then, I mean, ideally I'd like to have to like the 25th.
Okay. Let's put the 25th then.
Okay, great.
It just wouldn't do to beat you up over the schedule when we've not gotten them in earlier. Okay, on the domain tasting PDP, we have the extended deadline. The initial report's gone out. So after this, I need to update this with the date for the final review, in terms of getting the final report out, we still need to get the final constituency report as well as the closing of the open comment.
So I think, assuming we got the constituency report by the 28th of January when the comments close, then 10 days later would put us at, I don't know, the 7th or the 8th of February.
Okay. And that's when you would have the final report,
right,
which we then could discuss in, on the 9th. But
right.
Well, it would be a place of time when you could basically walk us through it.
Absolutely.
Right, and that would be the first part of the discussion.
Right.
And then we would also have the part of the discussion that was discussing the recommendations from this team that we just put together today. So that would be good. Okay, so please get that final constituency report in on that one. On the who is, we had to update the schedule based on a conversation we had last time. So the deadline for submission of proposals was moved out to 15 February to right after the meeting with the collation of studies done through the 25th and then a discussion starting at our first meeting after New Delhi. And in terms of the scheduled meetings after New Delhi, Glenn, Chuck, and I have just started talking about when those might happen, and then we'll come out with a proposed schedule to you all relatively soon. The other ones I want to point out is that the chair, vice chair elections, the nominations are through the 23rd, and that includes seconds, and that the election for board seat, the nomination period is open through the 31st of January. Any questions on any of that data?
I have a question
okay.
on this, please.
Excuse me?
I have a question on this.
Okay, slide. Certainly. Go ahead, please.
I don't know that you discussed it, but the first one here, the first list, it's been on here for a long time now. Patrick, can you give us any feedback on the IANA names? What's going on with that?
Hi, Mike. There's no update at this time on that.
Okay, I mean...
Is there any estimate on that one? You give us an estimate on the other stuff.
Right now, I can't give you an estimate because it has been a lower priority compared to some of the other items, which is not a really good answer for you, but I should be able to provide more information on it by Delhi.
Okay, thank you. I'll make a note for an update on status on that for Delhi. Thank you. Okay. Any other questions on the schedule before I move on? I mean on the action items. Okay, on the schedule. We have meetings scheduled for the 9th and 10th, and as I've gone through now, we've been talking and looked at dividing these up into two possible parsings, which was one view was on Saturday, basically talk about the domain tasting, talk about the inter-register transfers, and talk about GNSO improvements. And then on Sunday, basically put a IDN discussion where we talk about not only the answers that are in the report in detail, getting ready to make decisions on that, but also talk about any other issues that need to be talked about before our joint meeting with the CCNSO so that we've had a chance to sort of air all of the discussions in a fair amount of detail before meeting with the CCNSO.
Aubrey, if I could interject one comment there. I think that our discussion of the of our response to the bigger issues report will synchronize nicely with our preparation for the meeting with the CCNSO.
Yes, I think so. In fact, for Sunday I had, and I'm not sure that I didn't step on my own words when I was talking, Sunday I had IDN preparation for joint meeting, which, that you're right, they go together well, and then preparation for the open meeting. And on Saturday I had IRT, DT, and improvements. Now, you had recommended in one of our offline discussions switching the days around so that Sunday we would do the IDN prep for joint meeting and prep for open meeting, and then the first day.
Well, and let me say, personally, I don't have a preference. What I was trying to anticipate is, are some people, are more people going to be there on Sunday than on Saturday, and are there some issues that are more critical to have strong attendance? And as I'm thinking now, there's another issue. It sounds like there's going to be several counselors who may try to participate remotely, and we have a huge time difference in this time. So I'm not sure we can resolve that in this meeting today, but I think we probably should explore both of those issues. Both, those that are going to be there are going to be there for both days. Secondly, how do we deal with the huge time difference for some counselors when this meeting's going on if they want to participate remotely? So in other words, the timing of our meetings there may help to adjust it a little bit to accommodate those who might be participating remotely. And again, I'm going to be there. I don't have personal preferences in terms of what we put on which day, but I think we need to consider those options for those who might be coming in a little bit later and for those who are participating remotely.
Okay. So I'd like to open the floor to sort of discuss this and see if other people have viewpoints and opinions on how we do the scheduling. The third piece of it is that we need to decide what our agenda items are for the open meeting on Thursday. I believe that one of them has to be our IDN responses, and I believe that we should vote on those IDN responses in that meeting. Other than that, I believe that we should have a discussion on the domain tasting and especially do open floor discussion on that, though I don't believe we'll be at a point to take a decision yet. Other than that, I'm not sure what other items we should bring to the Thursday meeting yet, and so I'm also looking for suggestions from council members, because I don't believe the IRT discussion is necessarily ready for that yet, as the initial report won't be out yet at that point, and so it seems too early to bring that to the open meeting. I'm going to do the IDN. GNSO improvements, I don't know that we've got enough to talk about to make that the topic in our open meeting. Certainly the domain tasting is one, and the IDN. But so any comments? Who would like to
Aubrey?
Comment on? Yes?
Sorry, it's Mike.
Yeah.
It's Mike.
Alan, I'd like to list.
Okay, Mike, Alan. Okay, go ahead, Mike.
I mean, I agree with you on GNSO improvements. There seems little possibility that we could really take action on that, given that we still haven't seen what the proposal is. But on domain tasting, it seemed like you said that you didn't think we would be in position to take a decision on that issue in Delhi. I thought that really conflicted with, you know, forming a design team to develop proposed motions for us to consider.
You're right. I think I may have misspoken. I don't know where we'll be on design team. We'll find out on the discussions that we have on the Saturday, or the Saturday or the Sunday. It's the IRT we're not in a position to do anything on.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You're right. But we might be in a position to take a vote on that. You're right.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Depending on whether motions are actually put forward by this design team.
Okay, so I think that, you know, I would expect that
at least
one motion will be coming out of that team, I would think.
Okay. Thank you. Alan?
I'd prefer the domain tasting be on Saturday if at all possible. I will have meetings on Sunday, so that will reduce the chance of conflict for me.
Okay, thank you. You would prefer it on, you said?
Saturday, because ALAC will have Sunday meetings, but not Saturday. So on Saturday, I know I won't have a conflict. Sunday,
right, and
it becomes iffy.
And since the domain tasting is one that has been initiated by your issues report request, I think that's quite reasonable.
Thank you.
Anyone else have a viewpoint on this?
This is Christina. I am going to be participating remotely, and I appreciate Chuck's suggestion of perhaps tweaking the meeting time to the extent that's feasible, and if it's not, then so be it. I guess the one thing that I would ask is that once we set the schedule in terms of what we're going to be discussing at what date and time, that we really try and stick to that in terms of, you know, I have no problem, you know, being on a call from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. to talk about domain tasting, but I'd like to make sure that that's kind of the entire discussion of it, that there isn't later discussion that kind of pops up spontaneously that because it wasn't kind of scheduled out, people who are trying to participate remotely can't participate in.
Now that makes a lot of sense. So in terms of the Aubrey,
in that regard, sorry for interrupting. I wonder if you and Glenn and I can commit to working on, and if Glenn, it's a big task, I know, if we could get a little table that kind of shows us where the people, different time zones that are going to be participating. Now, in light of that, it'd be very helpful if we know exactly who's going to be participating remotely and who's going to be there.
I've heard two already, Tim and Christina.
Right, and if anybody else could identify that now, that'll narrow down the time zones that we need to be concerned with when we do that task.
It's my current understanding that the entire IPC, all three of us, are going to have to participate remotely.
That's helpful. Okay.
And IPC spans how many time zones?
East Coast, UK, and Singapore.
Oh, that makes it really easy.
Yeah, we're not really helping much. Sorry.
Actually, the Singapore one's probably the easiest one.
Right. Well, I think part of the problem with that is that I think we're running up against the Chinese New Year, maybe. I think that's
yes.
Anyway.
Okay. Does anyone else know that they're not going to be able to attend?
Yeah, I will not be attending.
But Tom and Europe.
Avery, to the extent that the people who aren't attending can identify what their really hot topics are, that might also help.
So, yeah, so we'll be getting in touch and trying to work that out. You know, I think scheduling is probably one of the hardest things that we get to do.
Oh. One more question about official meetings. Do we already know when our official TNSO meetings will be? Because I don't think that I will have the time to call in on the weekend. But
okay, the official ones where we'll be voting is, do you know, Glenn?
Probably on Wednesday. Wednesday morning in New Delhi. I can quickly look up probably what that means.
That means 4 o'clock in the morning for me.
Yes.
Not quite. 6.
Yeah, how many hours is Delhi off from Europe?
4.5.
4.5. Yeah, so it probably means like 5 o'clock in the morning. Four. Okay. While that's being looked up, so we'll continue working on the schedule. I think because no one else had a preference, that we will put the topics on Saturday and. You know, the IRT, DT, and improvements on Saturday, and put IDN on Sunday, as well as meeting prep. I'm not quite certain when the meeting with the CCNSO is. Denise, do you have any information on that? Are you on mute?
Yeah, the staff is working to identify a time that's mutually convenient. We'll get back to you on the list.
Okay, and the staff has all of everyone's schedules, so they should be able to. Okay.
Tim, will there be remote participation at that one or not?
I think there needs to be.
Yes, there will be.
Okay, great.
Okay. Just quickly want to bring up that we've been having the discussion with the liaison with the CCNSO. I talked to Chris about it. He seemed agreeable. He might to bring it up to the CCNSO, I understand, at their next regular meeting. It wasn't part of the extraordinary meeting that they've had to discuss our message to the board. So I think we can continue talking about it. We basically seem to have three notions going. One, that it could be someone who had been a council member in the past, one that it should be a council member. I think that's something we need to discuss. I think having it be a council member is certainly the most convenient in terms of reporting back to the council and sharing what's going on with the council at the moment. But, you know, it's something we still need to discuss, but we certainly don't need to decide on it yet. We need to wait until the CCNSO Council itself has said, yes, we want to do one. But from the feedback that I've seen on the list, I haven't noticed anyone in the GNSO Council who does not think we should do it. I know it's been attempted in the past, not successfully. I think it's probably worth trying again, but, you know, we'll discuss it more down the line. Okay, we've talked about the face-to-face meeting. The next thing was New Delhi accommodations. Robin, this was your issue.
Hey. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yeah, I just wanted to raise the issue of hotel accommodations. And I wanted to ask if there was any funds left in the intercessional budget that could to accommodate some of the hotel expenses for counselors.
This is Denise. So the issue is not only what funds may still be available from the funds budgeted for GNSO Council intersessional meetings, but the larger issue is the precedent and policy. That that is affected by this action. So there's been quite a bit of community discussion about ICANN's recent decision to support airfare for GNSL council members, and that's the extent of the support that ICANN will be able to offer the GNSL council at this time. But as I noted, the COO will be running a public workshop in New Delhi, and this issue should definitely be discussed there.
Can we, Denise, can we make sure if it's possible that the scheduling of that workshop does not conflict with any of the previously scheduled council meetings? I mean, I'm sorry. I didn't realize until after I said it how that sounds, but I just don't know whether anybody has thought about that.
I understand completely. I can't guarantee that it won't conflict with anything, you know, the ICANN schedule, but I understand this is a very important issue for GNSL Council and constituency members, so we'll do our best to make sure that it at least doesn't conflict with a big GNSL meeting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. Anyone else want to comment on this issue? Okay, thanks. Moving on. The last issue we had was council tools. And this was yours, Tom?
Yeah, indeed. Well, I was discussing the list before, and we have been discussing that almost as long as I'm on the council, and it's quite a bit already. And I've seen after the email that Bruce Tonkin was writing that they use some tools at the board level, which sounds very intriguing to me to use as well. So such things like wikis could be used instead of the Google Docs where we use right now, where everybody could be editing and where we could post links on and stuff like that. So we really should move into some direction where we use collaborative tools. And what my suggestion would be is that we ask staff to maybe have a look at it, whether they could provide it to us or not. And if they could, to make an introduction so we understand how the whole stuff works and then can make a decision whether we like it or not.
Okay, yeah. I've already had some contact from staff. They're looking into whether they can make some of the servers available, talked about the Jabber server. One question I have about Wiki is whether it gives the same dynamic editing and update capabilities that the Google Docs gives. I don't believe so, but I need to check with someone. That's not to say we shouldn't use a wiki. I think we should use a wiki, but I don't believe that any of the wiki has the same collaborative editing, dynamic update capabilities. So it may be, you know, many tools need to be used. So it is being looked into about a Java conference room that would work for the GNSO. Same as the board use. They are looking at making the wiki available to the GNSO, and then of course we'd have to figure out how it is we wanted to use it.
Avery, it's Alan. The wikis that ALAC is using allow pretty much full interactive use. That is, anyone who has the right privileges can edit something and dynamically post it back.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
The other people have to refresh their image, you know, of the web page to see what's being changed. Now that can cause more confusion than being helpful sometimes, but it does allow it.
Aubrey, if I could make a general comment on this.
Certainly.
One of the things, it's obviously from earlier part of this meeting that we don't really know how much information we're going to have from the board on GNSO improvements. But we do have time in New Delhi set aside for GNSO improvements, and even if we don't have very much specific in terms of final recommendations from the board, there are quite a few areas in the GNSO improvements recommendations that really I think are non-controversial, and the one that Tom brings up is one of them, you know, tools and so forth. And so, you know, let's keep in mind that let's dedicate some time in our weekend meetings on GNSO improvements to at least work on those things that really make sense to get moving and not wait any longer.
Oh yeah, no, I think that's good, and I'm certainly into using tools, as I hope is obvious.
Along those lines,
Aubrey, do you think it would be possible to have that Java room set up so we can try it out in Delhi?
I will certainly ask if it's possible. I will go and ping Steve. I think it's Steve that was about having that.
This is Denise. We're meeting with the IT to go through this and other IT-related issues involving India. So we'll take an action item in particular to discuss the Jabber Room and the and wikis and get back to you on the list.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, because certainly for the way we do the motions, the wiki would be perfect for that. Thank you very much, Denise. Okay, anyone else have a comment on tools and such? If not, we're 5 minutes over the 2 hours. I thank everyone for their participation today, and talk to you during our next meeting, and on the list and in the various groups between now and then.
Thank you, Aubrey.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.